We'll come right into Katrina Strickland to welcome her with her regular Outs Roundup. She's from the Financial Review. And this time around, there's a couple of shows featuring two very different women that she wants to highlight. So, Katrina, thanks again for joining us.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Two Sydney productions have caught your attention. Tell us about the protagonists and why they're so compelling.
Yes, when I was working out what to say, I realised they're both about unrequited love and what a woman will do to get her man, but at opposite ends of the kind of entertainment spectrum. One is Legally Blonde the musical, which is on at the Lyric Theatre at Star. It's based on the 2001 Reese Witherspoon movie about a rich American girl whose boyfriend gets into law at Harvard and dumps her because she's not, you know, law student girlfriend material, and she enrolls with the sole purpose of getting him back, but of course ends up ducksing the class, solving a murder mystery and deciding that he's not the man for her, just as he realises she's perfect wife fodder. It's really fun. It's a great night out in the theatre, and you do have to leave your preconceptions at the door, because one of the things that's best about it is how much it pokes fun at intellectual snobbery and at judging people by their, you know, blonde hair and penchant for pink and, you know, knowledge of all things fashionable. So that's a really great show. And then at the other end of the spectrum at the Sydney Opera House is Salome, the Richard Strauss opera, also about a woman who, you know, is spurned by a man who she loves, in this case, who's, you know, imprisoned by her stepfather, Herod, and she decides that her payback is to get his head on a platter. So,
and you liked it. See, I'm not a Richard Strauss fan, but this has got the wonderful Cheryl Barker in it.
And I think Cheryl Barker really makes it. It's a brand new production by Gail Edwards, and it's set. It's got carcasses up the back. Cheryl is just one of those performers. I don't think I've ever seen anything that she's in that I haven't really enjoyed. The only thing about it for me, which is not about the production, is the whole idea of a head decapitated from a body, I find a bit icky.
Yep.
Even though, you know, it's not a real head, watching it makes me feel a bit icky.
Yes, I would have thought, I can understand that, but you have persuaded me. And look, the thing about Legally Blonde, before we leave it behind, it's an original idea, isn't it? Like, does it come from Australia?
No, it doesn't come from Australia.
It's
been
a
big hit overseas based on the Hollywood film. And no, it's one of those ones that's touring the world that's come here.
But
the New South Wales government has put a lot of money in to get it to Sydney as part of their kind of using the arts to attract tourists here.
Now, we'll travel to Adelaide now, which is hosting a major show of the work of the artist Geoffrey Smart. So there was a big retrospective of Geoffrey Smart a few years back in New South Wales, but is this bigger than that?
No, this is smaller. And in actual fact, it is a bit of a shame that it's not at one of the big state galleries. It's at Sam Stagg Museum and Carrick Hill, a historic Adelaide home. What's interesting about it is it's probably going to be the last survey of Smart's work during his lifetime, and he is one of our most renowned living artists, probably him and John Olsen are the last two who are still alive. Smart is living in Tuscany in his 90s. He decided that he would stop painting at 90, which is probably a couple of decades after other people retire, but artists don't stop, really. They normally go to the end. So it has given the curator, Barry Pierce, he can look at Smart's career from the beginning to the end, and he goes from the 40s in Adelaide through to the 50s and early 60s in Sydney, and then the later decades in Tuscany where he's been living, and, you know, all those great Smart pictures. He can look at the span
terrific.
Of it, and I think it's really nice for one of our most renowned living artists, most collectible living artists, to have a survey show in his lifetime, because they often come, you know, in the years after someone dies.
People might genuinely travel for that, I'd say. And we heard from the fabulous Paul Kelly a little bit earlier in the show. You've seen a film about him that's impressed you as well.
Yes, this is a new documentary by Ian Darling. He was an investment advisor turned filmmaker. He's made films on homelessness, Sydney Theatre Company, which he used to be the chair of, Warren Buffett, and he's turned his lens on Paul Kelly. He's a big fan, and it's definitely comes from the perspective of someone who loves Kelly. It verges on hagiographic without being hagiographic, but it looks at, through interviews with a whole lot of friends, family, musicians, the things in Kelly's life that have influenced his songs and that come through his songs. So we learn a lot about his, you know, Catholic upbringing, one of nine children. He was ducks of his school, good at sport, went on this other tangent. He dabbled in heroin for over decades.
Did he?
Yeah, which I didn't know.
No, I didn't know that.
His couple of his ex-wives are very fond of him and talk fondly about him, but also talk about, you know, his like for tasting everything, including presumably other women. And, you know, one of them says, you know, how many things did he really need to experience? So it gives a really nice rounded picture, and it's got Kelly himself interviewed in it. At the moment, they're touring it around the country with performances by Kelly of songs from his new album and a Q&A with Darling at the end of it, as well as it'll then release in cinemas.
And I can't let you go before we head to the West, having just been there, and a big corporate art player has some of its collection on public show.
Yes, that's right. Wesfarmers is one of the big Perth conglomerates. They've been one of the big collectors over the decades. This is from their contemporary holdings, which they haven't shown before. So Bill Henson, Rosemary Lang, Patty Bedford. It's nice that they're a big sponsor of the gallery as well, so there's a whole lot of tie-ins there.
I was talking about the comparisons between Brisbane, which so impressed me, as I said earlier, and Perth, that has not seemed to me to develop quite the same level of excitement. That caused a lot of debate. It's very game to say that out loud in WA.
And well, so, no, it's true though, isn't it? The gallery there really does need a bit spent on it.
Thank you, Petrina. See you in a few weeks' time.
Thanks, Geraldine.